Unless you're in, like, remarkable shape. Like, we got Gary Roberts coming up here in a minute.
Gary
looks
the
same he has for 30 years, basically.
He wouldn't allow his face to sag. He's in too great a shape. Like, the skin is too tight. Everyone else gets those lines beside their ears where, I don't know if you've seen the lines beside the ears. That's a sign that the face is starting to drop.
Really? It's like it's like tree bark. You can tell how long the tree's been around.
You want to know how I found that out? I was sitting on the bench during a game playing for the Florida Panthers, and Sean Hill pointed it out. He said, I can tell that I'm getting older. Look at the wrinkles beside my ears. I'm like, you're up. Like he's talking about the wrinkles beside his ears during the game.
I love that kind of stuff, though. Those are the stories we need told. Like, just guys on the bench that don't know when they're up, aren't listening to the coach.
Oh, yeah.
Talking to their buddies, you know, and bringing up material or bringing up content that is completely irrelevant.
I guarantee you it doesn't happen anymore.
No, well, I mean,
everyone's got an iPad, and they're like, "My next shift. What did I do last shift?"
Yeah, and not to mention the benches are mic'd. Could you imagine a mic'd bench from 20 years ago? Some of the things that were being said and what guys were talking about, I think it would be a lot different than.
But
today.
I feel like it was more intense 20 years ago.
For sure.
Like now, I do think guys would just be like, "Hey, like, what are we Call of Duty tonight? What's the plan?" I passed that crazy level last night, like in a blowout. I could see that happening 20 years ago. I don't know if that would happen as much. Although you guys were on the bench. And so was Gary Roberts, and we bring him in now. He's a new member of the Seattle Kraken. This might be the first guy. No, we had Ron Francis on. Second member
Kraken,
of the Kraken.
Buddy.
Kraken?
Kraken,
I don't know.
I believe.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I don't know.
That's
I think
a good
it's
introduction.
We'll have to figure it out. Kraken or Kraken?
Ask Robs.
Okay, here's Gary Roberts. Can you clarify the name?
Yeah, you're asking the wrong guy. I think it's Kraken, but you know, I'm a little cracked, so that's probably fitting.
I thought it was Kraken, but were you a talker on the bench, Gary? Were you a guy that would go off the beaten path and talk about plans that night, or you know, what were you talking about when you were in the middle of a game during your career?
I just keep it simple, buddy. Like, let's not get too carried away. I used to yell back at O when he'd accuse me of stealing his goal.
Yeah, you did.
And
at
like,
least five times.
It hit me. It hit me. Yeah, whatever. You're in the net. The puck's in the net. Who knows who put it in? You used to just wave
Hayes,
his hand at
this
me.
This is a signature move. I would take a one-timer. And he would just go in and slash the goalie in the throat, and somehow the puck would go in the net. And then he would literally do the Gilbert Dion and look at the ref and be like, yeah, I got it. I'm like, this guy is as much as you love the heart and determination, at least five of my goals were taken away.
That is such bull. I can't swear on the air, so I will not.
You can't.
That's too bad, Gary. Yeah, because we're looking at your hockey DB at 438 goals. So you're saying, oh, it's 433 total.
Rob, do you ever think about 500? Like, if you had to miss those that year and a half out in Calgary, 500 would have been in reach?
Yeah, I do. And I guess you always look back on it. You know, I think about I missed over 250 games due to injuries. So, I mean, I got to think in the years that I was scoring goals in my early 30s, late 20s, I would have been nice to get there. I didn't, obviously, but yeah, I think about it probably more now than I did at the time. But that's what happens when you get old. You have more time to sit and think, and you start thinking, gosh, I could have been better. It could have been better.
I say that all the time.
you hit 50 that one year, 91-92, you had 53. I mean, that's a pretty elusive club. That must have been obviously one of the many highlights of your career, but do you remember your 50th? Can you remember the details of it all?
I do. I remember being stuck at like 48 or 47, and Guy Chiron came down the bench. I was starting to do the old drop pass in the blue line, and I guess I was going to score my 48th, 49th, and 50th goals with one-timers from high in the slot. We all know that's really not where I scored many of my goals. And Guy Chiron came down the bench. He said, would you stop drop passing the puck and get back and just drive in the net? And I said, okay, Guy, got it. And I think the next night scored my 47th, and I think I scored my, I want to say 48th, and then 49th and 50th was against Billy Ranford against Edmonton in Calgary. So I do remember that.
Yeah, Battle of Alberta. That's when it was still cooking back in the early 90s.
Was it ever? Was it ever? But good old days. We all, you too. Y'all, I hear you guys talk about it all the time. How good you used to be. I mean, it's great, isn't it? No, we can do that now. We can sit. We can just sit in the stands and or sit and have a couple of beers with our buddies and talk about how good we were. But actually, we stunk.
We're chatting with Gary Roberts.
Yeah, Robs, you knew. I mean, I played with you. I never professed to do that. You, our team in Florida, we had a bunch of really good guys, but we weren't a very good team.
No, we weren't a very good team, but we liked to have fun, which was, you know, I guess, like I say, you got to gauge the fun meter a little bit if you want to win hockey games. But, yeah, different environment, too, though, at the time, right? It was Fort Lauderdale all the time. I don't know if it's much better today, but tough to get many fans in the building, so... You had to get pretty jacked up to play in Florida back in those days.
Robs, how do you kind of deal with the new, everyone talks about it, the athlete these days, the newer age player. I know what your temperament's like. I know you how you've dealt with me, although it was 15 or 20 years ago. Like, these guys want information. They want more information than ever. Do you ever just look at a kid and say, just be quiet and go and do it and try to get better? Because it seems like sometimes they want to fall back on information or just not, you know, that grit where you're just like, go out and do it?
Yeah, and it's a real fine line. And I'll tell you, it's been a real, you know, learning curve for me too. And I'm fortunate. Oh, I built a team away from the game to help young players develop. And then there's people inside that team that I have that have probably softened me over the years and understand that it is different. There's so much information. And I think what I try to do is just try to, you know, apply what I think is the right information in a way that's, yeah, probably a lot softer today than I dealt with you when you didn't show up for Saturday workouts, right? Like when you were sleeping in because you had a late night. Like you know, some guys still do that today, but I don't yell at them like I did you back in 15 years ago. So I'd say the game has changed. The player has changed. The way that you approach players has changed. And I've learned to do that. I enjoy it. I still think we have the best athletes in the world, hockey players. So I'm a little reluctant to say they're not competitive, because I see some guys that are ultra, ultra competitive, and they still push the group just like it did years ago when we had, you know, competitive guys on our team that pushed the group. I still see it, and I just don't think you make it without having that competitive edge, but I think just players need more feedback. They need more touch points today than we used to need back then.
With Gary Roberts. So how does that apply with the new gig? You're going to be working with Seattle. They don't even have a team yet. There's no one to yell at. You know, there's no one to try to engage with or motivate. But at some point, they're going to have a team, and it's going to be an exciting time for the market, clearly. Do you have any association with that market? And how did this come about, you working with Seattle?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ronnie and I had a conversation middle of the summer when my contract expired with Vegas, and I absolutely loved my time there, and I think they've done extremely well with what they did there. There was an opportunity when my Vegas contract was over to do something different, and when Ronnie approached me about helping out with getting Seattle up and running as far as on the performance side and the equipment side and building out these three training facilities we're trying to do right now, with the uncertainty of when seasons are going to start, and for example, when the AHL team Palm Springs is going to come into play. So there's lots of factors. I'm excited for the opportunity. One thing I think I've learned over the years is what an NHL team needs is around performance and also equipment and specific. Exercises have changed, specific routines have changed for certain players. And, I'm excited to be part of it. And we're putting a team together there that looks like it's going to be lots of fun and learn a lot through it.
So you're literally going out to Seattle, Robs, and designing the gym facility for the locker room for the Kraken players?
Correct. And we are, excuse me, so far I haven't because I've done it all from afar. But it's amazing what they can do now on computer programs. And basically, you know, you're standing in the gym looking around. You know, we've received a rendering today, for example, from a company when I, you know, sent them the floor plan and we started to get some pricing on equipment. And I was just amazed when they sent this thing back to me. I'm like, holy crap, like I feel like I'm there, which is exciting for me because I get to see, you know, the plan that we're starting to put in place with Nate Brookerson, who's the head strength and conditioning coach that Ronnie hired. So working alongside him to make sure we have everything we need and we're able to do that so far from here, but eventually I'm going to have to start traveling to Seattle when things open up and eventually get things up and operating and get ready for Really, which will be our first development camp after the draft, and hopefully next summer.
Rob says, Rob's, I was going to say, has training changed that much even in the last like 5 or 6 years? Like, I know it's obviously it changed a lot since when you and myself and O played, but like, how has it continued to evolve as far as for the new athlete? Because obviously it's speed and strength is still the focus. Is it slight adjustment or has it been a massive adjustment?
Well, I would say it continues to evolve, and our group, you know, Gary Roberts Performance, that's our goal every year. Is we have experts within our company, and you know, I'm a big component of being like, you can't be great at everything, right? So I have you know, Lucas is our speed coach, and that's what he really focuses on is movement, right? And then Adrian oversees all the training, but he's our head strength and conditioning coach, but really he evolves in the weight room. And then Sylvie is our holistic nutritionist, who's you know, it's so much more into the diagnostic side and blood work and hair samples and understanding minerals for players and the needs for players. So my point is that it's changed because people like me and our program, there's lots of companies out there now and lots of organizations. They gather way more information, and like O said, the players want that information. And what the player, your hope is that the player trusts you, and you hope he trusts your judgment and trusts what you're feeding them, and then puts it into action. And we all know it's no secret, guys. If you take good care of yourself and train smart, you can play a really long time. And well, that sounds like a simple recipe, but as we all know, that's hard when you're 20, 22, 23. And you're in the National Hockey League. It's hard to stay that disciplined. And what we try to do is keep guys close. Like I say, this is a really tough time for NHL players to prepare for an NHL season when they have no idea when they're going to play. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, your motivation if you really didn't know when you're ever going to play? Like, we knew September was training camp. You had to be ready. Whether you started in July or May, you had to be ready. Now players are like, gosh, when's training camp going to start? And I'm like, guys, like, we just got to stay close. And that's true. Like, you got to be within a month of being ready to play in the National Hockey League. And we all know how hard that is. So I feel for the players in that capacity with the uncertainty of when 2021 is going to start.
Yeah, it really is unprecedented in terms of the preparation and the complete uncertainty in terms of when we're going to see guys back on the ice, let alone back in camp. But we'll get there when we get there, and we look forward to Seattle being back in to the league or joining the league and seeing what you bring to the table out there. Gary, we always appreciate you finding time for us, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
You guys are way nicer this time around. Are you getting soft? Is that what happened? You're getting soft?
You know, you just remember, Robs, don't take any pictures on TV and send them to me, pal.
Guys. He went dark on me. I never heard. I thought he changed his number. He didn't respond to the picture.
He took the worst possible. I had three chins, and they were all showing I was in a bad position. And he took it and sent it to me, and I knew exactly what it meant. And then he sent a question mark about a week later, and I just, like, I was almost done. But I had to call him a month later and make good with it. I actually did start training because of that, too. So thanks for that motivation, pal. Good luck with stuff in Seattle.
Well, I really appreciate it, guys. Good luck to you guys. I always enjoy talking to you guys. All the best, guys.
You too. Thanks, there Rob. He is. Gary Roberts. Inspiring.
Yeah. Just a picture. Like, I was sitting back and my neck was just gross. And he's just like, what is that? Like, he just never stops. And it's I just was so mad. It was right in the middle of, I think, a World Junior broadcast, and I was so mad. And then he sent the question mark like an hour later, and I didn't talk to him for a while. I was pretty mad.
You put him in timeout.
Yeah, I did.
I love it.
It's a tough frame of mind, man, when you're live, especially World Juniors. There's like 7 million people watching. And you get a freeze frame, like anyone can look horrible in a freeze frame.
Yeah, you know? It's just like, remember when we were taking the pictures for Overdrive? It's like you got to stick your neck out and you got to like lean your chin forward to look thinner. It's just like any kind of bad position. Like I always tell people when they're taking a pic, hey, can I take a pic with you and my kid? I'm like, yeah, but you don't have to do it right in front of my face. Like, back up 10 feet and take the picture, for crying. Have you ever had that? Oh, can I take a selfie? And they got the camera right in your grill. It's like, do you really need the ultra close-up? No, you don't. Back up.
There should be a filter agreement. That's what should be happening in society. I mean, we're all in this together. We should all establish a filter agreement where if you take a pic and it's not the best pic, use your judgment. Even
I've done
if it's
that. I'm like, take it again.
Yeah, take it again. Or, you know, use the filter. Kardashian, that bad boy. Kim Kardashian doesn't look that good in real life. But, on Instagram, it's fire because the angles are perfect. The filters are appropriate. The lighting is on point. Master the Instagram world.
But we're not important enough to have to do that.
No, of course.
Like, Kim
not.
Kardashian has, like, 50 million followers, doesn't she?
More than that, like a couple hundred million, I think.
Oh, whatever it is.
Hundred million followers?
I don't follow her.
Fairly certain. Let me look it up here on the fly.
No, it is not a couple hundred million.
I will say it's, I swear I don't know. I have not looked this up.
It's not more than 30 million people.
Oh, it's way more than 30 million.
I say 50 million people.
Okay, I'm going to say over 200 million. I'm dead serious. Over
Get
200 million.
Serious.
190 million. So I was off, and if this was The Price is Right, I'm out. But I was closer than you two bozos.
Oh, I guarantee you she must make $1 million per post.
She does.
Instagram.
She makes like 250 grand or something for a post. Like she posts something. Like if we were to be like, hey, do you think you could promote Overdrive? Just hold up this goofy shirt. She'd be like, yeah, sure, 250 grand. Like, okay, never mind. Maybe just make it a story
junk.
And I'll pay you 10 bucks.
Is she the highest in the world?
No. You know who last time I checked,
wasn't
number
it
one?
Bieber?
Nope. He's an athlete.
Miley Cyrus.
Athlete.
LeBron?
Nope.
Tiger?
Cristiano?
Oh, Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
Wow.
I'm looking him up. Guess what his number's at? Followers
300
on Instagram.
Million.
250.
241 million.
Wow. Holy crap.
Like that puts it into perspective because we don't talk soccer a lot on the show and we don't focus on European soccer that much. But Ronaldo has 200 and what did I say, 40 million?
Yeah, but if he looked like a half-chewed caramel?
Oh, of course not.
You can knock 100 off right there.
Oh, 100. 100.
Like maybe
Noodles.
More.
He'd have a private account.
We got to fly, but
have
we'll get back
friends.
Into this.
Yeah,
who's the most
true.
Overrated Instagram follow?
Okay.